to resist them with absolute defiance. It's the Gandhi, Martin Luther King model of passive resistance. But there's enough of us to cripple. All dictatorial regimes in the early stages need public compliance. This is why they do the intimidating break into your home with school board protesters, point guns at people's heads, so everyone else is too scared to do anything. And we just need to say no and hell no. We're standing up and we're not going to do what you tell us to do. And that will collapse the regime. Now, listen, things could get really ugly from there because that's a spinoff that can lead to civil war. But you know what? We have to decide. Do you want to live under a communist regime that's global, that's dedicated to depopulation after they strip everyone of their civil liberties so they can't defend themselves? Or do you want to stand up and fight now? That's really the choice we're going to have.
That is right.
If you've been following recent developments, you're likely aware of the ongoing transformation in the global economy. The BRICS nations are actively advocating for the replacement of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and an increasing number of countries are aligning with their efforts. Concurrently, the stability of the Western banking system is facing unprecedented challenges, reaching a level of fragility not seen since the 2008 financial crisis. The reputable Weiss Research Group, known for accurately forecasting bank failures with 99.3% accuracy since 2008, now anticipates a substantial risk of over 4,000 banks facing vulnerabilities, with a fourth of them on the brink of imminent failure. According to their data, all the experts are predicting a major economic collapse more impactful than the crash of 1929. Historically, precious metals have proven to be resilient assets during such economic uncertainties. Now is an opportune moment to consider acquiring gold and silver to safeguard your family's financial well-being. For the most reliable service and the best prices on gold and silver, I recommend Miles Franklin at info@milesfranklin.com. When you contact them, mention Sarah sent me. It ensures you receive the best service and pricing available in the country. That's a guarantee from them to me. Take proactive steps now to secure your assets and protect your loved ones. Contact info@milesfranklin.com and let them know Sarah sent you.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have my friend Dave Hodges coming back to the program. We're going to get into intense conversation about why, you know, where's build up to war? What's going on? We're going to talk about the bridge collapse. We're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about Russia and Gaza. And we're going to talk about our military here. And then we're going to talk about some hopeful things, too. At the end, he goes on I loved it. He just kind of talks about, he's a psychologist by training. So he used to teach at the universities about psychology, but he's going to talk about the development of the brain, and fantastic. I hope you listen to this whole show and listen to him go on that. I think that'll be hopeful for everyone. But before I get into this, I want to remind you about the masterpiece we are being dumped on by all these heavy metals. And I'm really hoping people try this. It's $52.99 for a 2-month supply, which is not bad. And what it does is it gets the heavy metals they're seeing in trials at this point, up to about 70% plus of heavy metals being removed from your system. They have another trial going on with 48 participants. Nobody does trials with these, you know, with supplements. So they are doing that because we need to prove that this is working, because we really need something that gets these heavy metals out of our system that's being dumped on us by the geoengineering. You know, people have it from the shots that they're getting, but it's everywhere. The microplastics, the forever chemicals, the heavy metals, the graphene oxide. So I really hope you look into this for your family and share it with your friends. Say, hey, I think I have something for detoxing heavy metals that's not going to make you feel like crap, and it actually works. So I really hope that those who are trying, I'm getting really good feedback so far. People who are trying it, I really hope you get hold of me. Tell me how it's working for you. But anyways, the link is below, or you can go to sarahwestall.com under shop. Okay, let's get into this really important conversation with my friend Dave Hodges. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to the program.
Well, it's good to be back with you, Sarah. I'm recovering to the point where I can actually function now. So,
well, you could function being walking around with pneumonia. You were still functioning. So that was pretty good for you. So, or for anybody. So that was pretty amazing. But we have so much to talk about with,
Let's do it.
I mean, the world is, I mean, a lot of people think we're already at war, but now it's escalating. And, Ukraine is ready to fall, and NATO is stepping in. And you have information and intel on that. Tell our viewers what you know.
Well, what I know is Poland, Germany, and France have boots on the ground in Western Poland, and I mean organized military units, not spec ops, not people like that. I'm talking about ready to go to war. The United States is waiting in the wings, and they're shoring up their forces now. I received something from someone whose family's high up in a state government, and that's all I am allowed to say. But they have information on a program called ALARAC, which is the recall of many recent retirees and people who've separated from the service. And if you're within 5 years of your separation date, you're subject to recall right now. Now, I've known about this for 6 months. Now I have the documents that prove that this is true. I have a friend who was spec ops in the Middle East, and he is on a hit list for Middle East terrorist groups. He was so effective at what he did. He told me that he was told that if he comes back in now, he can choose his duty assignment. If he waits 6 months, he'll go where they put him.
Oh,
And
geez.
so this is the preparation to gearing up our military. They're doing critical infrastructure, military replacements, and additions with these recalls. What's next is the draft. And I'm hoping that people will say no and hell no to to these policies, that we're not going to obey a draft. We will not report for the draft. We're saying no and hell no. We ain't fighting in Ukraine. And that's where I hope this ends up.
Well, yeah, because I was just going to say the what they're doing now are trying to get people that are recalling people who left in the last 5 years. That's a pre-draft. It's because the next thing is the draft. And do you think that we have a country of people who are willing to step up and fight in that way? For Ukraine,
Not
for
at the present moment,
cabal?
but I'm gonna say this. The powers that be are being very careful not to do things to inflame the masses at one time because they don't want the pushback, especially in an election year. But they're going to make a mistake because these people are ignorant and arrogant, and that's a bad combination. They're going to make a mistake. They're going to piss off the American people across the board, and even some of the diehard Democrats are going to be affected by this, and people are going to rise up in this country. The big equalizer for Biden is this, though, something called the Kigali Principles. And my gosh, I've written about this for years. Before Obama left office, he and John Kerry negotiated an illegal treaty that did not get the two-thirds required vote in the Senate with the United Nations to join what they called the Kigali Principles. At that time, it was 28 member nations saying that if one of our nations is in trouble, whether it's a health emergency or whether it's insurrection, we will send troops from the 28 nations to subjugate the problem in that country. And I guarantee this is what Biden will rely on if we rise up.
Well, now here's the deal. The Democrats are peeling away from the Democratic Party because they were an anti-war party, which obviously they're not. They've become the war party and they're losing their base. A lot of people are walking away. I don't know if they have the support. What's going on in Gaza is really infuriating. Even the Christians who are taught to support Israel are they have to ignore.
And I
Here's, I'm
do.
going to say this. I'm going to say this. In order to follow what's going on in Israel, you have to ignore almost all the other teachings of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, you got to take a step back and think about what's really going on
Okay.
here.
Let me address this from a biblical perspective, and I'll just generalize it. First of all, we are taught in the Christian religion that the Jews are the chosen people of God. And I honor that. I respect that. But also, too, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the rise of Israel as a predictor of end times, 1948, but they also said they're without the spirit, meaning the government was not godlike. And Netanyahu is an agent of the New World Order, as is most of the Israeli government, and they house and they promote every type of deviant lifestyle in Israel that's not godlike. So the government is Israel, as predicted the book of Revelation, is without the spirit, meaning they're not aligned with God. I support the Jews, which is biblical. I do not support the war criminal Netanyahu.
Well, there's a difference between a political state and Israel. This is my interpretation growing up in the church. It means the people of God. So it's not, I think it's a much broader term. That's my interpretation of it. But regardless, it doesn't say a political state. It means you need to support the people. It's the akin to saying that if your son is addicted to drugs, you're going to do everything you can to help them with their drug habit. It's like, that's not how, you don't facilitate or what's the word I'm trying to look for? You don't help them with their bad deeds or whatever else that they're doing. That's the confusion. Yeah. That's the confusion that's happening within the Christian world. And I think they need to wake up because they're supporting something that they fundamentally don't believe in.
I think most Jews are godlike, God-fearing, and eventually our religions will merge.
That's different. That's not what we're talking about.
That's my disclaimer. The reality is this: the Israeli government is criminal. They're war criminals. They deserve to stand trial and have their own Nuremberg trials.
That's right.
I agree with revenge against Hamas. It's biblical and it's just, but they took this to a whole different level that's beyond revenge against a terrorist group when they starve people to death who had nothing to do with the conflict, when they bomb schools and bomb hospitals, that you lose my support when you do that.
Bomb kids walking to their homes. I mean, just...
Yeah. Let's not forget, Sarah, let's not forget this. Israel brags that they can be anywhere in their country to defend their country within 3 minutes. And I saw X videos, in other words, on Twitter, of ex-Israeli security people who said, yeah, I was responsible for security in the area that was attacked when I was in active duty, and I was awakened when critters would come across the border.
That's right.
That's how sensitive the equipment is. And then Netanyahu waited 6 hours to respond so the casualty count would be driven up to justify his criminal war actions.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not obvious. It is probably obvious to most people in the world. That's why people are pushing back. The only strongholds are the Christians who are afraid and they just need to see through this. And I know they're good people. They need to see through it. But I don't think they have the support to go to war. And that's what I'm talking about here. I think the people who are already in the military are maybe stuck, but I don't think the average person, I don't know if a draft, I think there's going to be, you think we had pushback during Vietnam War. I think the pushback now will be way worse. I don't think, I mean, the weapons that they have now are so advanced. They don't really need all these boots on the ground other than to depopulate.
Yeah, you just said the magic words, depopulate. I'll say this. The leaders of Western governments today, they used to call them the Western democracies when the G20 got started. Now you can't say that. These people, our countries, including our own, are being governed by a few on the behalf and benefit of themselves and their donor class. That's it. The people in the Western countries do not matter. They're not listening to them. And they're banking on the fact that they can keep us divided and conquered with conflicting ideologies they keep bringing in. We hate white people. You people over here are victims. And they keep us divided and therefore conquer us so we don't rise up in mass to stop what they're doing. And they're banking on that strategy to carry out their dictatorial policies that will eventually land us in a nuclear war.
Yeah, or worse, right? These weapons that they have are so advanced. So, okay, what do you think of the bridge collapsing? Because that bridge is not just a normal bridge. That bridge is where a significant part of our goods and services, or not services, don't go over a bridge, but the goods that get transported go through underneath that bridge. That's like a wall. It's going to fundamentally hurt the whole East Coast if they don't get that thing unlodged. That's why people are saying this looks like an act of war. It doesn't look like some ship that just ran into it. You have some more details that you found.
Yeah, well, first of all, they violated procedure and protocol. Anytime you have a ship coming into a harbor like that, they're required to implant a pilot specially trained to navigate the ship for that mission. And that's true for all ships. There's no evidence this was done. The second thing, and I don't know if I have a unique video, but I know the ship that came in. They're giving credit to the ship that came under the bridge and struck the bridge at the pylon on the left-hand side on the video, brought down the bridge. I agree that was the final straw. But if people would look off, and I covered this yesterday on Rumble, I said, look at this ship here. It's bump up against the pylon, back away a few feet, several feet. Do it again. I counted four times where this happened. This ship was weakening the pylon structure to set up the complete devastation by the second ship coming in. These two ships were working together, and I can't believe I'm the only one seeing it. You can see the ship, and I said, look at the shadows here. I said, you can see the ship moving back. Look at the shadow coming forward, where you can see the ship reappear between the bridge apparatus, and you can see it striking the bridge. And then backing up and striking the bridge. No one's even talking about this ship that's there. And
That's
Sarah, it's as plain as the eye can see.
very interesting. And, there's supposedly a May Day that the guy lost his steering and then it was too late and he ran into it. So I don't know what to think about. It's the combination that makes it look really, fishy here. Some people are saying there was explosives, but we don't know if it was a light that was going on or off, right? That's going to be fleshed
I've
out.
seen that, and I can't make a decision as to the accuracy of that statement. It might be true, but I couldn't determine that. But I can determine there were two ships involved. There's absolutely no question about it. I mean, first of all, you have a ship that comes in and knocks down the bridge. Okay, that's the narrative right now. Why is everyone ignoring the second ship that's parked off right next to the pylon? Who does that in a harbor? I've never heard of this in a harbor where a ship comes right up to the edge of a pylon and just is there for several minutes. And it's there way before the ship comes in, and it's there as the bridge collapses. And I showed clearly, here are the pylons. You can see the bridges, you can see the ship moving into position, and then the ship slightly moving back in. I maintain it was striking the structure to weaken it, so when the death blow came from the other ship, it was easier for the bridge to be brought down. And I can't draw any other conclusion, but no one will even talk about the second ship, but it's clear for everyone to see.
Well, I think they will now once they hear this and they start seeing there's more going on. Now, what do you think
Go to my
about the
Rumble channel. Go to my Rumble channel, people, and you will see this very clearly. I pointed out, and I spent several minutes on this.
Well, what do you think about the wall that's essentially creating? So now goods can't move through that area. How
It's
much does that go ahead.
the number one hazardous shipping port in America, and this port is compromised for 5 years now. That's the estimate.
And my understanding is it affects multiple ports in that area. It's not just this one
That's
port,
correct.
and that this will really impact. So we're going to have to watch and see. Biden claimed that he was going to rebuild it immediately. Well, we'll see, right?
They say 2 years for reconstruction.
Oh my God.
And do you know the ship that is given credit for bringing the bridge down, ignoring the first ship? That bridge has connections to China. Now that's surfacing this morning. And I haven't had time to break down the details, but people are asserting that this is connected to China. Should we be surprised? I'm sure Biden wrote him a letter, said perfectly fine to do that, as we know what a traitor he is.
Well, we have people inside our own government that are hell-bent on taking our government down, taking our country down, right? I mean, it's so obvious. So that's why I was saying, well, let's see what Biden does. I don't know if you could have a worse person in position right now with what is happening around the world. So you have some intel too on kind of what the state of our military and the Pentagon and other aspects are. Can you share what you know? There are so many supplements out there, it's confusing what's best for optimizing your health. Beyond getting your basic nutrition, if there's one vital ingredient for optimal health, it's carbon 60. Why? Because carbon 60 is the world's most effective supplement at reducing inflammation and increasing longevity.
Inflammation is a major contributing factor of almost all disease, including Alzheimer's, asthma, cancer, heart disease, obesity, and COVID vaccine injury. If you are serious about your health, try Carbon 60. Be careful though, not all Carbon 60 supplements are equal. I recommend Carbon 60 by Live Longer Labs, the scientists who first brought you Carbon 60 that was suitable for human consumption. They were also first to bring you Carbon 60 in pill form, first to incorporate black seed oil and curcumin, and first to incorporate frequency technology that gives you full spectrum health. You can be confident that you will be buying the absolute best. Buy or learn more with the link below or go to sarahwestall.com under shop.
Well, we're not combat ready. And we're also leadership deficient.
That's an understatement.
Because so many good people are leaving the military because of the woke BS. And I've heard this. Listen, I have someone I work with closely whose father left the military for just what I said. I mean, and also, too, I have a family member. Same thing. Now, there's a program out there, and I got this information from someone who's in a family that's very high up in a state government. And that's as far as I'm going to go to protect the sources. And I have documents now that show there's a program called ALARAC, which is not secret. And ALARAC is the recall of retired personnel or separated personnel, and they're subject to recall up to 5 years from their date of separation. Now, I actually covered this several months ago, and I said, folks, I'm getting scuttlebutt from military people I trust that this is in the works. Now I have the documents. I'm publishing some of these documents over the next 48 hours, and I'm going to time release them because I don't want people to miss it because it's a single distribution. I want people to catch it across a broad spectrum to get more people to realize that you people who've left the military, you think you're out of harm's way? Uh-uh. And by the way, this is the first step a government would take before they hit a draft. First, they got to fill their critical infrastructure positions by recall, and then they go to a draft. And I'm going to say this unequivocally, okay? The Hodges family is not obeying any draft. Now, I'm not in danger of being drafted, but the Hodges family, across the board, we are not backing a draft. And America needs to stand up and say, our kids are not going to die in Ukraine or the Middle East. That's it. We're not doing it. And if we would stand up collectively as a nation, we could paralyze this movement right now. And we just say to NATO, you're on your own. This is why they'll kill Donald Trump before they let him become president, because he would come in and take us out of NATO and say, NATO, you go ahead and fight Russia. Good luck to you. And Putin wouldn't touch the United States.
Well, you know,
they don't want that.
NATO took over a part of our base in Langley, and they've been merging all these militaries across the world under NATO for a while.
Mm-hmm. This is New World Order stuff.
This is New World Order stuff.
This is taking away the sovereignty of our military structure under the control of the president.
That's right. And that's what I covered that a couple of years ago. I had Renee Parsons on, Renee Parsons, and she's just was trying to get the word out so much about what was actually going on with NATO. And now they're doing this. So it makes sense. What do you think of the Russian theater shooting? Who do you think? I mean, they claim ISIS claimed, but people are saying it probably wasn't ISIS. I don't know. What do you think? Have you looked into that at all?
I'm going to say it's NATO mercenaries, double agents kind of attack. And I believe the United States is part of it. This is classic Biden administration nonsense. And the bridge, I think, is a connected action. And we're just seeing the beginning. Since we started letting illegals in large numbers with the Biden administration, I've been saying this day would come. I said we will have a Tet offensive of massive infrastructure attacks in this country designed to weaken us to where we can't defend ourselves. This was just the first move, and I believe it's connected to Moscow as well. And I think Putin recognizes the threat. He recognizes who it is. He recognizes what the threat is to his nation, which is the same as the threat to our nation. The difference between Russia and America, though, Putin will resist this. Biden will embrace it.
That's right. And Putin will protect his people, but we are not his priority. And
so, do you know they do nuclear defense drills in Russia to shield civilian populations from nuclear attacks? They've done it twice with tens of millions of people participating. We haven't had a drill like this in over 40 years in America.
we don't, like I said before, we couldn't have a worse executive office right now, government, than we do right now in the time that we're in. We had a coup, which the wrong person won. We had a coup. Now we have an illegitimate government running an operation, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Couldn't agree more. We have people, a minority in control of our government, dedicated to the downfall of our government. And then they use bribery, blackmail, and financial incentives, of course, to have this filter down to the local level. And the main strategy they've employed to get their people in key positions is election theft. And now you want to hear the latest in election theft? It is now legal for municipalities, counties, or whatever authority conducts an election to look at the early vote numbers before the day of election, which means that since our data is going overseas to be counted, they know how many votes they have to steal overseas to turn an election.
That is, well, because they can't afford shutting it down like they did for 5 days to fix it, because Trump was ahead in all the swing states. I have a graphic showing what the numbers were before they shut it down. He was ahead in every single one. They shut it
I know.
down for 5 days and suddenly the whole election changed, right? It couldn't be more obvious. And there are still people that are, not, it's incredible that everybody doesn't realize it, because it's as obvious as it can be. I don't know if they can get away with doing something that obvious again. So they're doing all this
Oh,
pre.
they are. This is why the data is going to be counted offshore. I don't know. Have you not heard of that?
No,
The
I haven't.
data, the machines are being taken offshore entirely. They did some of this in 2020, but the machines are being taken offshore, and that's where the votes will be tabulated. The machine data storage, I should say, has been taken offshore, and now they have the right to look at early votes so they know how many they have to steal. You know, they need, there was a YouTube on this 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And it showed it was the Diebold voting machines at the time. And this guy said, I'm a programmer and we can flip 5149 to the 5149 the other way. This was congressional testimony where members of Congress heard how votes are flipped by the machines. Now, there'd be some measure of control if election officials had election codes, which was denied in Arizona in the 2020 election. And, but if you have local control, then they can supervise it and perhaps limit or stop it. But since now the votes are being counted offshore, we don't know who's monitoring these votes. There is no free and fair election. But I want to say this: people should still vote, folks. There is no free election. The election will be stolen in whatever jurisdiction they want to steal it in, whether it's federal, local, or state. But here's the deal: if we vote en masse and we see the same BS we've seen in 2020 and 2022, then we have a reason to rise up. And you vote to expose the fraud. You're not voting to win. Trump will not win this election, I guarantee you, if he
Well, they'll
gets that
figure it
far.
out. Yeah, they'll figure out how to fix it again. Whether I just can't believe that we might be stuck with Biden again for 4 years. I mean, I don't know how it couldn't be more
It
obvious
won't
to
be Biden.
everyone. They
It
can't,
won't be Biden. Let me tell you what the conventional wisdom is right now, and this comes straight from
because it's too
ex-military
obvious.
intel. Biden is Kamala Harris has already been called on by the Washington Post last week to step down. Formal article: step down, Kamala. You're hurting the party. Okay. Now, what'll happen in this scenario? Biden will appoint Hillary Clinton as the vice president. And then, for
Oh,
medical reasons,
God.
he himself, after the election, will step down. It'll be President Hillary, nightmare on steroids.
Can't be that. I mean, it can be. I'm not saying it can't be, but it's just like, wow, if
Hey,
that happened,
Sarah, it can be. I'm sorry, but listen, I live in a county where the districts in the county that had more Republican registered voters by far than Democrats, 60% of the machines failed upon opening,
I
and
know.
150 to 200,000 people in Maricopa who were presumably mostly Republicans were disenfranchised in the last election in 2022. It can happen. It will happen. And then I'm hoping it'll be the impetus to rise up. Now, my idea of rising up is this. Everything this criminal government passes, we say no. They want to shut your farm down like they're doing in Oregon to the small farmers. They just say no. They keep right on going. And we need to resist them with absolute defiance. It's the Gandhi, Martin Luther King model of passive resistance. But there's enough of us to cripple. All dictatorial regimes in the early stages need public compliance. This is why they do the intimidating break into your home with school board protesters, point guns at people's heads, so everyone else is too scared to do anything. And we just need to say no and hell no. We're standing up and we're not going to do what you tell us to do. And that will collapse the regime. Now, listen, things could get really ugly from there because that's a spinoff that can lead to civil war. But you know what? We have to decide. Do you want to live under a communist regime that's global, that's dedicated to depopulation after they strip everyone of their civil liberties so they can't defend themselves? Or do you want to stand up and fight now? That's really the choice we're going to
have.
That
is right. You're right. It's like you do it now or we're going to live in a hellscape. It's going to be really
exactly.
bad. Now, if they declare war, they can shut down all the media, right? As part of that, they can take control of everything. Can they do
They're preparing to do it now.
But can they do that legally in this country? Can they take over all, like they did with stupid COVID, and they shut down all the voices? They ended up being wrong. They were proven wrong on almost everything they did. And people died in mass because of that. But they don't care. They want to control and have the power. Do you think that they will shut everything down and dictate that?
You used a word I'm going to white out. If you were speaking to me and it was text, I would take the white out and white out your word legally. There is no such thing as legal in this country anymore. There's not legal or illegal. I'll give you one example. Gretchen Whitmer is now paying $500 a month if you take in an illegal alien, but she's calling them newcomers. There is no legality in this country. We're supporting criminal enterprise in this country. Biden, by his open border policies enforced by Mayorkas, is facilitating child sex trafficking, the murdering of 100,000 Americans a year through fentanyl poisoning, courtesy of China through the cartels. I could go on and on. Biden is a criminal after the fact who's suborning illegal activities on the border that's killing Americans, victimizing children. There is no legal in this country. The DOJ is a mafia. The FBI is a mafia. The FBI needs to be, as John Kennedy would say if he were alive today, broken into 1,000 pieces and taken apart brick by brick. And I don't care how extreme this sounds, these people don't represent the Constitution. Their idea of law and order is what the ruling party tells them to do.
So did you ever think that we would get here? I mean, we're essentially a banana republic. We sound like a banana republic. I mean,
well,
no
we jail
rule of law,
we jail
nothing.
Political opponents. Peter Navarro is the case in point for this. Roger Stone would have been had Donald Trump not pardoned him. But Peter Navarro was an advisor to the president that gives him executive privilege not to have to testify in anybody. And then he also was one of Trump's lawyers, client attorney privilege. He's in prison now. Why? Because he refused to testify at J6 based on those two exemptions, which are time honored. And it goes back to the days of John Jay and those rulings from the Supreme Court. But they said, we don't care about that. You didn't follow J6. You're going to prison. And this 72-year-old man was apprehended at the Washington, D.C. airport, and they put him in leg irons. They confined him for 24 hours without food, without water. He didn't get to call a lawyer. And this is a high-profile government official. And then you look at Owen Schroyer. Owen Schroyer didn't go into the Capitol on J6. People not to go. It was a setup. But they put him in jail because on his radio show, he said death to tyrants. So I guess someone named Tyrant is in the Democratic Party, and that was a direct threat. But they put him in prison for that. We have no law and order in this country. And then there's Sharona Bishop. She's in the movie Police State, Dinesh D'Souza. And I interviewed her 2 years ago and recently about 4 months ago. And Sharona was going to school board meetings in her immediate area. And she said, I don't want CRT and this other crap taught because my kids are white and they're not racist. We teach them differently, but you're putting them in the role of being labeled as racist. Well, the FBI cordoned off her block, kicked in her door. Her husband was a government employee, by the way. They came in, they put guns to their heads. They refused to show any kind of warrant, any kind of legal document that would allow them to do this. Their teenage daughter came out of her bedroom, was on the stairs. An FBI agent grabbed her by her hair and pulled her down the stairs.
Oh, gosh.
And they took off with all their electronics. And then they left some vague version of a warrant that would never hold up in court. And they never prosecuted them. They just harassed them, publicized it so everyone else would be too intimidated to go to school board meetings. And we say we have a legal system. We have a third world banana republic legal system run by criminals. They may raise their right hand and swear to uphold the Constitution, but they are the frickin' mafia, Sarah. We're being ruled by a criminal mafia under the control of the United Nations and their sustainable developmental goals.
That's what it is. It's a mafia. There was a Blaze attorney or a Blaze reporter. I forgot his name right now, so I apologize. But he was a J6 reporter for Blaze, and he was doing great reporting, and they arrested him. And he was talking, I remember watching it, listening to him, and he was talking about how he was in chains. He has a misdemeanor. He's in chains walking next to people who have felonies without chains. It's just absurd. It was there just to intimidate him and other reporters and other people that dare to speak out and say the truth.
Well, let me cover something else here that speaks to your notion of legal. And we need to address that because most Americans still think we have somewhat of a legal system. There's a lady in New York City. She lived in a $1 million home, so she's well-to-do. Her parents passed. She inherited their property in New York City. She showed up within a week of getting the notice transfer of deed, and she shows up, and the locks have been changed. She called a locksmith. They came in. She showed the paperwork. He changed the locks. The illegal aliens came back to the house they were squatting in, which was her parents' home, and they called the police. And she went to jail, even though she had the deed to the property. Okay. And then when you look at, let me make one more point here on this.
It's not funny. It's just sometimes you gotta laugh. Go ahead.
Gretchen Whitmer, $500 payments now on a $4 million pilot program that they're going to expand. And you take in illegal aliens, you get $500 a month. Now, there are people who are really hurting who will take advantage of this. And here's what I said to these people this morning in a broadcast. When she takes away the program, try evicting these people. Try getting them out of your home. You'll be the one that leaves. And how do I know? This has already happened in Germany. 15 years ago, they were evicting people from low-rent apartments who were German citizens to bring in the illegals they were importing into the country. And if you had a second home, you had to give up one of your homes to house the illegals in Germany
that's 15 years ago. That's what they're doing in Ireland right now.
This is, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is what's coming to America. Now, this is covered under the Third Amendment. It's often called the Quartering Act, where the British soldiers imposed themselves on colonial homeowners prior to the revolution, said, you're going to lessen our burden for protecting you by housing British soldiers. Well, Thomas Jefferson wrote this into the Bill of Rights in the Third Amendment called the Quartering Act, say the government can't make you give up your home for people to come in and live there at your expense. But this is coming. The entire Constitution has been obliterated. How about the right to speedy trial, which is in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights? There are people right now in the J6 prisons who haven't had their cancer medication in months and years, and they're not getting medical treatment that they deserve to get, and they're still waiting for trial 3.5 years after they've been arrested. So much for the right to speedy trial. We have no legal system in this country.
Yeah, our justice system is completely broken. I want to read some numbers to you. I just saw this, that for an individual to live comfortably in this country by themselves in a major city, the average they have to make now is $96,500. For a family of four, it's $235,000. And that was up from, let me see if this is 2023, just in 1 year, that was up. Let's see what the average was. I'm trying to find it here. Oh, where's the average? I mean, it's a huge inflation. On average, it went up from 68,000 from just a year ago. So from 68,000 to 96,000 in a major city in 1 year. I mean, how can people possibly, the smaller cities are still, you know, rural areas are still livable. And I mean, they still have to deal with inflation. But how can a family of four, even with two people working, when the average salary, people are making about $57,000 a year right now, how can they live? And when they say live comfortably, that means you take 20% of your paycheck and pay off debts, so you're not continually going into debt, and saving for retirement. That's the difference. And then having a certain percentage for entertainment and just to enjoy your life. Right. Basically, you have to strip all that away, and all people are being able to afford is the basic necessities to live, and they can't even afford that.
Yeah, I gave some stats. I gave some stats yesterday, and this is from Shadow Stats, but also many other people are carrying this. Prior to the pandemic, it took an average income of $67,000 to buy your starter home. Today, that number has risen to $114,000. And that really kind of, really illustrates what you're talking about here. And then there's another stat that's very disturbing. This is turning us into a feudal nation where we're becoming serfs. In 2021, 20% of home purchases were done by private investors, BlackRock and their minions, shell corporations that are basically nameless, but it all leads back to BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. 20% in 2021. Today, that number has risen to over 44%. There, when you get those emails that say, hey, do you still have that property at 311 Evans Street still available? We'd love to talk to you about it. And they pay the inflated price. So everything inflates in the neighborhood, making home ownership for new people, first-time homeowners, impossible. And this is the BlackRock scheme of eliminating private property ownership. And I'll tell you why they're doing it. The UN is now talking about, under their sustainable developmental goals, and the Biden administration's part of these talks, they're talking about climate mitigation for homes that are not net zero carbon friendly. And in fact, the estimate is this: the average homeowner in America today would pay $42,000 to make their home compliant with UN regulations that'll soon become US law. This is absolutely incredible what's happening to us.
And, you know, the universal income will not make that even remotely better, because if you are going to, the universal, it is going to be what, 40,000 maybe? So you still need 96,000 just to live comfortably in a major city. You're going to be living in absolute poverty with their solutions. Worse.
The first set of college classes I ever taught were sociology classes, which was my undergrad major. And one of the things is, one of the five pillars of sociology is what they call Fabian socialism. And Fabian socialism is based on Herbert Spencer's 19th century ideas that if you don't put more into the state than you take out of the state, you should be done away with. And I mean, that's literal. And most of these people that are the globalists with the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the IMF, the UN, and now, of course, Biden administration key officials, they qualify, in my book, as being labeled as Fabian socialists. So if we think that universal income will be there for very long, think again. They're doing it to quell the masses while they depopulate. That's what I believe their master plan is.
Yeah, because they're not really communists at the end of the day that are trying to raise up the poor. They're technocrats, and that's different.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And those people want to get rid of the poor. It's different. And that's the confusion that some of these idealistic socialist communist people believe. They think we're just going to help the poor. No, these people want to eliminate the poor. That's how, when they say that there will, you own nothing and you'll be happy and there'll be no hunger and all this stuff, it's because they're going to get rid of people. That's what it means.
Sarah, look at their master plan: 15-minute city, CBDC to control your assets, no travel, 3 items of clothing. We could go through all these restrictions, but you are basically becoming a feudal serf, as I talked about earlier, with regard to lack of home ownership opportunity. But it gets worse than that. What they're going to do is they're basically, this is the biggest wealth redistribution scheme in world history by far. They want to strip everybody of everything they own, and they tell you, you'll own nothing. And of course, they should be saying it will be happy. But when they take your wealth from you, they take your power away to resist. And then they will decide who will live and who will die. And how many times have we heard that we're on various lists, and one day these lists will be acted upon, just like Nazi Germany did when they went and rounded up Jews that they had lists on. And this may sound extreme, but you tell me, why are they keeping lists? Show me a government that's ever kept lists on large numbers of people that are political opponents that they didn't act upon and kill if they had the opportunity. And history is filled with those examples. Universal basic income is a Band-Aid. That's all it is.
That's right. And the only government that we have as an example that was a functioning technocracy was Nazi Germany. We know what happened there, and that's what these people are. They're not.
Well, you know who set up DHS? The head of the East German Stasi retired. They paid him $5 million. His name's Marcus Wolf. He's paid $5 million to set up DHS. And DHS today has done something that no one's really talking about except for a few. Disinformation, misinformation, malinformation. If you're guilty of any of the three, you're now a domestic terrorist by DHS policy. There's no law, but it's a policy they're going to go out and enforce one day when they feel they can get away with it. Disinformation is the intentional misrepresentation of the facts according to their interpretation. And then misinformation is the unintentional misrepresentation of facts. But here's the big one, Sarah. Malinformation. What you're saying about government officials being corrupt and showing their corruption could be actually correct. But if you're engaged in criticizing the regime, you're now guilty of malinformation, whether it's true or not true. And that puts you on the list. And right away, that's the elimination of all political opposition and the imposition of one political party.
Well, the most important thing to people who want power is to eliminate the free flow of information and to control the narrative. Number one,
correct.
Absolutely. And then to get their worldwide government, they need to force it. They do it through force, right? So they have to eliminate the communication, and then they're going to do the force, and then the elimination of the communication will be so that everyone else doesn't see the force that they're exerting on all their political enemies or whoever might speak up. Mm-hmm. And that's the process. And that's what we're pushing.
Well, yeah, your work on free speech really highlights that point. You've covered that point in your work, your lawsuit that you had. You've covered that exquisitely. But it's just like bouncing off of people. You know, the Bible says my people will perish for a lack of knowledge. And my gosh, do we have that now? And I try. I'm speaking to a tea party here in Arizona tonight on this for that express purpose. And I'll tell you, it's the idea my people perish for a lack of knowledge is absolutely true. And I'm not making a character judgment here, but America has been so dumbed down right now, it's going to be really hard to unify the people. I mean, we're going to have to get to the point to where people can't eat, can't put shoes on their kids' feet before people will rise up. But the other side is working hard not to exacerbate anxieties among large population groups. They're really working hard to do that. And I don't know if they're going to, I hope they make the mistake to unify the people. But Sarah, I don't want a war. You know, as they used to say, I'm too old to run and too fat to fight. I don't want to see a war, a civil war on our soil. Also, it could lead to an invasion by Russia or China, too, if we went into civil war, because they'd see America as weak and vulnerable. But the bottom line is, I don't see how this doesn't end up in a fight. Ultimately, it will be a fight. In fact, Biden declared war on MAGA. We know about that with his speech about a year and a half ago. But he also did something else, and people aren't talking about this quote. He said, you people think you can rise up against us, talking to MAGA? He said, our F-15s are more powerful than your M-16s. And he made that quote.
Yes.
And I'm thinking right there, he just threatened people who disagree with him. He threatened them with military action for people who disagreed with him. That's as dictator as you ever get.
And he had that red background, and it was incredible. So, but you have some hope here. You've done some work. You're a psychologist. That's your background. And you've done on brain activity. Talk about this, because this is actually a hopeful thing.
Well, if we look at the two generations of America that are the greatest generations, God bless them. The founding fathers went through terrible times. The Revolutionary War was hardship for a lot, but they persevered and eventually won. and they did the hard things. We had people in the Depression that were put there artificially by decisions of the elite to crash the stock market and do all the other things they did so they could do more wealth redistribution. But these people went through hell in the Depression and World War II. But they came out as perhaps America's greatest generation, in which we basically dominated the world. And there's research out right now that really explains some of this. The research is on a part of the brain called the anterior mid cingulate cortex. I'll say that one more time. Anterior mid cingulate research cortex. Now, the research is relatively new, but it's voluminous. In other words, there's a lot of the research and it's replicable. So here's what we know. There are two regions that house this particular brain part, left hemisphere, right hemisphere. And when you do things you don't want to do, like if you resist that chocolate cake and you're on a diet, that part of the brain grows. When you do physical activity that you don't want to do, not that you enjoy, but you don't want to do, that part of the brain grows. And so when people resist their temptation to be lazy, apathetic, acquiesce to illegitimate authority, okay, the brain shrinks. But that part of the brain grows when you resist and do what's uncomfortable. And if you look at the two greatest American generations, they did what was uncomfortable. And so what I think we need to realize is this, is we need to reprioritize, you know, how we live our lives. Having pleasure and getting the dopamine, serotonin highs is fine. You know, chocolate and sex, that's all wonderful. And that's dopamine, serotonin. But what we also need to realize is we have to do the things that are uncomfortable. In other words, how many of you self-censor? You're afraid to say something because you'll lose your job. Okay, but not saying something, you're inclusive in the problem of enslaving America by acquiescing to what they're doing. You're putting your children at risk for child sex trafficking, childhood mutilation, gender confusion is promoted by the schools run by these animals. This is what we are losing because we won't do the hard things. We won't stand up when it's uncomfortable. Now, the one thing I would say is you really don't want to be the guy to stand up by yourself. You get your head chopped off. But if you have strength in numbers and you stand up together and do what's uncomfortable, those people persevere. By the way, this part of the brain with larger regions that they've measured, it's common in athletes. What do athletes have to do? Train to where it hurts, do what's uncomfortable. And the other group that they found are really old people, 85, 90, 95, 100. That region of the brain is larger. And what
people
we need to do is
embrace the point, not just that they're older, that they've lived past a normal life.
Because they master the challenges in their life because they can do what's uncomfortable. And see, this, how can I say this without bragging? But I have this trait. Let me just share with you real quickly what I went through physically. 6 weeks ago, I had just completed a workout where I did 12 sled runs, which is a lot. If people know anything about high intensity interval training, and then I did 10 minutes of continuous heavy bag work with punches and kicks, and then I lifted to max on four upper body exercises. I was doing things I hadn't done in 20 years, and I decided to take control of my life and do what was uncomfortable, and I had lost 34 pounds. The next day, RSV and pneumonia kicked in, and I mean, it hit me in one day. I had 104 temperature, fever blisters on my lips. It was really unsightly, and I'm still recovering, but I think I'm about 90% out of the woods, and I'm back in the gym. But the bottom line is that I was told by doctors, because you had a history of very serious asthma when you were very young, my parents were told I wouldn't live to be 10. Well, I defied that projection. I went on to be a college athlete. But the thing is because of my background, they said you're vulnerable. You could end up on oxygen. You'll be diminished in your life. This could have been fatal for you. You should have been put on a ventilator. These are things I was told. And I just said, I reject all that. And I'm going to put myself in the gym. And if I can only take 11 steps before I'm out of breath, fine. The next day I'll take 12, then I'll take 13. And I took that attitude, which is indicative of this part of the brain. And today, when we're done here, I'm going to go out and sled down my driveway and I'm going to do heavy bag work. And tonight I'm going to lift. Now I'm about 65% of what I was in terms of workout intensity, but every day I'm getting stronger. The bottom line is, folks, is I have this trait. I'm not bragging because I had to have this trait to survive when I was little. My parents were given a death sentence for me when I was 2 years old. My parents wouldn't accept it. And then I became really, really stubborn to overcome it. And I did. And what I'm telling you is these traits are what motivates me today to do what I'm doing. People say, aren't you afraid? Hell no, I'm not afraid. And I'll tell you why. God will protect me until he no longer needs me to do this job. And then when he brings me home to heaven, I'm going to be a hell of a lot happier than I am now. And Sarah, you have those traits too. I've worked with you long enough to know that you have that inner stubbornness where it's like, F you, I'm not going to do what you say. I'm standing up to you no matter what. And your lawsuit you were involved in really convinced me that you had that trait.
Well, you keep fighting. You keep. What are we going to do? We got to keep fighting. And
we're keeping fighting. Hey, screw them. And I'll tell you what, when Gretchen Whitmer's types come to take my home for the illegals, we're going to fight. We're going to fight.
Because then you know that you did everything you could for your kids and your grandkids, period. And for yourself. Yeah. It's what else is better than that?
You have to be true to your convictions, you know, because I'm a Christian, you know, if Gretchen Whitmer and Joe Biden confessed Jesus and repented, you know, this is really hard for me, but I'd have to accept them. That's in my belief system. I have to accept them. But the thing is the Bible says you speak truth to power. You stand up to the evil ones. Okay. And when you have a purpose, God will protect you. And I have seen this over and over. And my miraculous physical recovery that I've experienced in the last 6 weeks in defiance of medical prognostications shows that God has a purpose for me. And it's not the strength necessarily of Dave Hodges. It's the Spirit of God that resides in me because my parents prayed over me. My grandmother prayed over me when I was a child. And I believe this gave me the impetus to have the inner strength I have today. It's not about Dave Hodges' ego. It's about what God has planned in my life. And that's how I look at this. And I'll tell you, there's an inner strength in all of us. Every single person watching or listening to this right now needs to understand that you have the strength within you to do this too. And collectively, we can change the world. We don't have to go through this. We could rise up overnight if we'd repent and then do the right thing.
That's right. Okay. People need to follow you. Where can they follow you?
Maybe in the insane asylum because they come to get me. But
go ahead.
Dave, okay. TheCommonSenseShow.com, TheCommonSenseShow.tv. I'm over on Rumble. And let me tell you really quickly here, I'm involved with some very powerful people, and I'm not yet allowed to talk about it, but they're taking away the internet very soon. Obviously, the UN has the DNS codes. It's just a matter of time. Well, this is a non-internet. And Sarah, I will tell you privately who's involved, but I can't go any further. But we're about 6 weeks to 2 months away from making these announcements. I've been invited into this group as a coordinator and a participant. And it's a non-internet, and it can't be touched. And this is a way we're going to try to unify the people when they take down the net. And when they take down the net, people will be willing to start listening to anything they can get. And this could be the impetus for the rise up that we need. So I'll be telling you more about that.
Well, people need to get on Bastion too. It's a way when the government took down the internet, I forgot what country it was when there was a coup against the government, Bastion was the only one standing, and that's how they all were communicating. Bastion is a workaround for when the internet goes down. They're planned, they're ready, and they're ready to go. I've been building my stuff up there, and I'll put a link. It's on everything on my website. Bastion is all the videos that are embedded are all on Bastion for that reason.
That's good. We'll have to compare notes on the two systems.
We do, yeah.
I've got a page of notes here on this program. I was in a marketing meeting 2 days ago. But the bottom line is, people, is this is real, and there are very powerful people that are household names involved. And that's all I can say at this point. But I'm telling you, it's coming. And people, this will be the gathering point. See, look what they did during the lockdowns. They kept us out of the taverns. They kept us out of the public square. They kept us basically from communicating with each other, which is what they wanted during the COVID lockdowns. They're moving to this again. But this is a way, the gathering point. The American Revolution was organized in taverns and public meetings. And this second American Revolution is going to be organized the same way.
Okay, I hope there isn't another revolution, but I think that, I don't know. I don't think that we're going to not be able to stop some kind of war. Thank you, though, so much for coming on the program. I hope people follow you. I'll have the links below. And just keep being you. Thanks for having the courage. Thanks for keeping the fight up.
Thanks, Sarah. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.